Sin will separate us for eternity from God, but faith and trust in Christ can wash away our sin, as we hear in this opening comment from our teacher, Mike McIntosh, to begin today's edition of CNV.
You are just as guilty as I, for sin kills us, but the moment we've asked God to forgive us, He forgives us, and the condemnation is put on the account of Jesus of Nazareth, and you're a free woman, you're a free man.
And I'll stand up and shout, and I'll praise you, Lord Jesus. And I'll stand up and sing, and I'll thank you, Lord Jesus. And I'll stand up and shout.
Welcome to Chapter and Verse, where we're taking part in a survey of the New Testament book of Romans. The guilt of mankind, the deception of sin, and the certainty of judgment are all among the mega themes that we've observed up to chapter 8. At this point, the situation is utterly hopeless until God intervenes and provides a sacrifice for our deserved fate. And He did provide that sacrifice through His Son, Jesus Christ. We Are Not Condemned is our topic and title today on CNV as we look to chapter 7 and 8 of Romans. Now, here's Pastor Mike with the conclusion of our study.
Oh, wretched man that I am, he comes to the end of himself, like you have to and I have to. Who will deliver me from this body of death? He now admits, as spiritual and religious as he was, the highest trained office in the country, and he's now born again. He sees that I was living for this flesh. My belly shows it. My wrinkles show it. This flesh really controlled me for years, and now Jesus has a new thing. I'm a wretched man. Who will deliver me from this body of death? Everyone knows this body's going to die. Your body is going to die, but you aren't going to die. Because what you have called a soul is going to live forever. And it's either going to live in the presence of God and be given a new body, or it's going to dwell in outer darkness so thick that you cannot see, but you can hear wailing and weeping and gnashing of teeth. And when you get those three together, you have to stop for a moment. When there's a movie that you go to at the 18-plex, and you're sitting there with your popcorn and just throwing it in your face, and you're trying to get to the big gulp over here, and you watch what's on the screen, and all of a sudden that pours all over you, and you might say, oh my goodness, or worse. But you don't hear people in a theater or a supermarket wailing, weeping, gnashing of teeth. Well, when the Chargers lose, you do. Yeah. Because you have high expectations for them. I have found in many years of doing this, of going to private and state psychiatric hospitals and facilities, you get wailing, weeping, and gnashing of teeth where there's insanity. I was called to Patton, where it's criminally insane, and went through all sorts of security, and this person they really were concerned about, very suicidal. So I said, I'll go talk to him. So I drove up, and I went up there to San Bernardino, and I was escorted by a law enforcement officer, which had my attention, and unlocked this door of this little apartment for this man that needed a minister, and he'd heard me on the radio. This guy was so gone. He was just begging that he could find forgiveness in God's eyes. He said, but last night, and he showed me his table, he had something that he carved, a pentagram of Satan. And then he cut his finger and put the blood on it and said, Satan, you can have my soul. Do you think I can be delivered to this? And I'm looking at him, and I'm telling you, he was wacko and capable probably of anything. And when he did it, he wouldn't even know that he did it to you. So when he said, would God forgive me of this? But this has gone on for a long time. That's why I'm here. But I did it as fresh as last night. And would he deliver me? And I'm thinking the word deliver. Will he deliver me? Will I get out of here? So I turned and looked at the door. Nobody looking in the window. It was locked. I couldn't get out until I pushed a buzzer to you know, get out. Ultimately, I prayed with that man. But it's an insanity that you get that combination in the padded cells and people that their medicine's not working. And I think of that. If God's not true, and Jesus isn't true, and the Bible isn't true, we should all be insane. What's this about? What is this world about? It's all about people hurting people. It's all of us getting broken hearts. Everybody trying to get to a place of comfort with a little bit more left over, that we can be independent people. And then we know you hate it sometimes when you see a funeral go by. You don't want to face death. In the book of Hebrews, it says this is the one thing that every human being has, this paraphrase, is that you are going to die someday. It's just below the consciousness. But let's say, without God, there's no reason to be alive. So you go insane for that. But let's just turn the thinking around. See, it's your life. You get the choice of how you want to live. You'll stand before God and give an account of yourself. So you don't need to argue with the preacher. He's just the messenger. But now let's turn it around. There is a God. And this God made a beautiful creation. And he made a solar system. And he put this star that he created that just has so much energy bursting out that it's 93 million miles away from this one planet that's on a 23-degree tilt on its axis that rotates itself with a moon that the sun will reflect on the moon, and it'll be the lesser of the two lights, and it will give a night light for the earth. You've been out at nighttime. It's been dark, but you see the moon, and everything's got a little blue coloring to the trees and stuff. So now let's say that's all true, that this creator created man in his own image. There might have been another race here. We don't know. We don't know about the 5-billion-year-old monkey that became a man and Cro-Magnon and the other kind of magnum, the PI. And we don't know about that. But you need to take a stand in certainty, just like Paul. You need to have the certainty, I don't know the answer to everything in my life or anybody's life or in this world's big picture, but this I do know, that there is a creator who can communicate to me, and it appears that the more I'm reading this, he speaks to me. And then when I'm at work, that comes back to me and it's just the answer for what I need. And I do know this, that something went wrong and it's sin, and everybody's born into sin. And I do know this, that the moment I gave my life to God and by faith accepted his plan of salvation, of believing in Jesus, who died in my place, my life has been different. And I also know that I'm not a super spiritual person, but I know this, that there is a Holy Spirit. And he has healed me. He has let me put hands on people and healed them. I have seen him do miracles in marriages, in businesses, in children, in families, in alcoholics, drug addicts, murderers. I mean, there's a mass murderer, David Berkowitz, the son of Sam. He admits all the women that he murdered from New York City. David heard the gospel in prison. It took him getting into prison. He's got a life term. But if you were to talk to David today, which was an animal, a beast, it took the NYPD a long time to capture this sick man. And he is the first to admit it. And he understands if you would be violent against him, or you would be angry against him, or you would not give him a second of your time, he understands that. And he would not be bitter against you for that. But he does like Paul. I know this, that I ask God to forgive me of all of those murders and heinous crimes that I committed against those women. And God, he asked if he would forgive all the pain and hurt that he gave to all those women's extended families and friends. And God, is there any way that you could forgive me for all the fear that I have projected to the city of New York and to a million or more women walking home at night from work? He knows this, that he committed a crime, and he's in the place that he should be for his crime, but he is free in his mind, in his heart, because he knows that the condemnation that should come to him for being a mass murderer was put upon Jesus of Nazareth. And Jesus said it was finished. And David Berkowitz has applied that to his life. The work is finished. And he bows to the throne of Jesus Christ. And he thanks God that there is therefore, verse 1 of chapter 8, no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus, that walk according to the Spirit and not according to the flesh. He's a free man. You are just as guilty and I, for sin kills us. But the moment we've asked God to forgive us, he forgives us, and the condemnation is put on the account of Jesus of Nazareth, and you're a free woman, you're a free man. But Christians don't live like they're free, because the carnal side of our life still controls areas of our life, and we say yes to the flesh. So before you go home, look at verse 8. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Jesus Christ, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. The guilt should be gone. God has forgiven you. You just need to walk by faith that you are not being condemned by God. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. So put a big square around that one. It's a law of the Spirit of life. He's made me free from the law that there is sin and that there's death. You're free. And then as you mature, you realize this is almost like a robotic spacesuit or something. And this is only to move you around town. And with a regenerated spirit and heart, your eyes over time quit looking at yourself in the mirror and how you can spend more money on yourself to feel better about yourself or to put accoutrements around you that you have a soft cushion feel of life. And you start realizing there's real people on these buses and on these trains and in this traffic jam. And they need to be loved and accepted just like I was. And so you pour your life out instead of draining everybody else's life. You're a giver. And by nature, the inhabitants of planet Earth are takers. So there's a law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Okay, I'll accept that. He's made me free. Okay, I'll accept that I'm free. I am free from the law of sin and death. Okay, all right. Wow, I can live in this body. I'm told by studying the Bible, in the first 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians, there's a new body waiting for me. And I'm also told it's not going to be a painful experience when I die. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, I'm going to be present with the Lord. Wow. So I just keep this body in shape so that I can do more and help more and give more. And you have purpose for living. Let me ask you an honest question before you go home. Does your spirit control you? Or does your flesh? Is it the fleshly appetites from television and media that keep talking to your arms and your legs? Get up, walk over to the refrigerator, and get one of those silver trains that come by dropping off snow-covered cans of beer. And your flesh says, well, just, you know, another six-pack, so it'll be okay. I've got to go to work tomorrow. And then you call in sick the next day. If you're in this battle going back and forth, it's over with. You're just out there sparring, like the man from La Mancha. You're coming with the big thing, you're fighting windmills. It's over with. The war is over with. We are called as the body of Christ to not only be a hospital, but to restore people that will go out and find the lost sheep and bring them into the house of God. And too many churches and too many Christians don't even have a vision of reaching out. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did The law couldn't do it. Thou shalt not do this, Michael. You can't do that, Michael. You're going to get your hand slapped if you touch that. The law, the law, the law, the law. And then comes grace. God did by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. And he condemned sin in the flesh. Past tense. It's gone. Turn your sin to him, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but we're people that walk according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. So you're one of two people here. You're a person that's always thinking about the sales that come in the magazines and newspapers. You're thinking about the world around you and bringing some of it into you and making some of it more personal. Or you're a person who is in the Spirit and your mindset is set on spiritual things. You let things drop that your flesh adored, that you pampered, you stroked, you fed it, and you thought you couldn't get rid of it. But it's when you set your mind on spiritual things. You're one of those two people. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. As I was flying home at the airport in Wisconsin yesterday, a friend of mine came up, and we hadn't seen each other for a while. And he's a big guy, and he stood toe-to-toe and just got in my face. Well, since I hadn't seen him, I thought, okay, he's not going to do anything. He said, Mike, I know the Lord is using you, but I want to tell you something. Yeah, what is it? He said, there are three kinds of people in this world. And I said, yes. There are the kind that can count, and then there are the kind that can't count. You're one of two people. You're either in the flesh and you're carnal, or you're a man or a woman that just cannot let a day go by without telling your Lord Jesus how much you love him. You can't let a day go by that you don't say, thank you, God. I've got an idea. If you follow me on Twitter, I'm going to start sending one-liners out to people. And for instance, take a moment wherever you are right now and just tell God, I love you, God. Now, maybe somebody's already doing this, but what if you sent it out to your groups and it started going around the country and around the world and it just kept going? Think of this. For the first time that electronic stuff has been out, maybe God could get a few million I love you, Gods every day, all day long coming. Just because we've been reading the 8th chapter. Wouldn't that be great? That you would say, I love you, God. That was so blessing that you took. When was the last time you just said, I love you, God? I love you, God. I mean, we couldn't be at thank you. We can't do a thing, Jesus said. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So why don't we thank him more? And personally tell him, I love you. Or how about, I thank you. You know, there was a Christian man that came in and put flooring in our house when we bought it several years ago. And he admitted to me that something went wrong in laying one piece of wood. So I started looking. He said, so I'll take that off. I said, no, no way. So I found it. And it's right down the track of the dining room to the family room. And that is the racetrack for 15 grandkids at any given time. They just run by, you're eating cake or at a party or something, and three or four just screaming and yelling at the top of their lungs. He put some tool down on the cement, and then he put the wood over it, so there's a little bit of bold. So when you walk by it, you feel it. And he said, okay, you got to do something for me. Every time you walk by that mistake I made, would you pray for me and my wife? He gets a lot of prayer. So let us stand at this moment. Let's reverently tell God we love him as individuals. And let's reverently consider, since there is therefore now no condemnation for you if you walk in the Spirit and not according to the flesh, you have tremendous liberties accepting that. You take that. You have tremendous liberties. And now you can walk further and longer than you did before. The devil's demons are hassling you. They're keeping you from sleep. They're keeping you from work, whatever. You're able to say, get out of my life and get out of my way. I'm on a narrow path going to a straight gate that leads to eternal life. And I am not condemned. I am not guilty. The price has been paid. Lord God, Almighty in heaven, Creator of heaven and earth, we would like to just say, I love you, God. Don't be afraid to say it.
I love you, God.
I love you, God. I love you, Jesus.
I love you, Jesus.
And forgive us for getting this simple thought of just telling you we love you. Lord, I am so ashamed that as I even think of it, that I'm more of an asker from you than reminding myself and you that I love you. Jesus, thank you for taking the condemnation that was on my record in heaven and setting me free so that there's no longer any condemnation in the past or the present or the future. But our Father in heaven loves me. Thank you. Thank you for setting me free. Bless these people that they could shout from the top of their lungs that they're grateful and they're thankful. And we accept your grace and your mercy where we should have condemnation and execution. Help us reckon our old sinful nature dead and renew in us a right spirit and create in us a new heart. Let us have the heart of revival filled with love for you and receiving your love for us. And let us not be stingy of keeping this secret to ourselves, but let us share everywhere we go that Jesus has set us free and he has set the people in front of us free, and we are not worried about being condemned. And if any ounce of condemnation comes our way, we will accept, God, that it is not from you. It's not from you. And what a simple thing. But you have shown us a new law of the Spirit of life in Christ. You've made us free from the law of sin and death. We are not going to die. We thank you, Lord, that you have told us to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Oh God, pour out your life upon us. Rejuvenate us. Pour your peace that passes understanding upon every heart and mind right now. Let peace reign. Let these folks learn, Lord, that they don't need to work to get this. It's given to them. It's their right to have peace. It's their right to be happy. It's their right to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and they should not be ashamed that they are a Christian. Bless them right now, and bless all their hands touch, and bless their children, bless their brothers and sisters, their siblings, bless their parents and grandparents. Just bless them, Lord, that they'll just be an ambassador for Jesus Christ. And let them be free like you have designed them to be free by faith. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
And with that, we bring to a close our lesson on We Are Not Condemned, taken from Romans chapter 7. Coming up on our next broadcast, Mike will show us that we are free from the law, sin, and death in Christ. If you'd like to review this message, you can do so online when it's convenient for you. Just log on to our website at MikeMacintosh.com. That's MikeMacintosh.com and click on the teaching link. And then go to the sermon page for not only the complete series through Romans, but nearly the entire Bible from Pastor Mike. Again, log in at MikeMacintosh.com. Chapter and Verse is a listener-supported ministry, so if the Lord places it on your heart to help fund this program on your station, please write to us at Chapter and Verse, P.O. Box 231150, San Diego, California 92193. Again, it's Chapter and Verse, Box 231150, San Diego, California 92193. You can also securely give online at MikeMacintosh.com. We'll continue our study of the Book of Romans on the next CMV broadcast with Mike McIntosh, and we hope that you'll join us at that time. Chapter and Verse is presented by Horizon International Ministries.
And I'll stand up and shout.